Well, appropriate time has arrived. I'll call the meeting to order. Good morning and welcome, everyone. This is an open meeting of the Public Company Accounting Oversight Board on February 26, 2008. We welcome those of you who have joined us today both in person and listening to the webcast of this meeting. Today, the board will consider a recommendation to propose a new auditing standard that would supersede the board's interim concurring partner review requirement and a conforming amendment to the board's interim quality control standards. Before we proceed with the agenda, I will note for the record that all board members are present. The first and only order of business before the board today is a staff recommendation that the board propose a new auditing standard on engagement quality review. To present the staff's recommendation on this agenda item, I will turn to our chief auditor, Thomas Ray. Tom.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. Greg Skates and I are pleased to be here this morning to propose a new auditing standard, engagement quality review, and an amendment to the board's interim quality control standards. Greg and I will highlight the significant provisions of the proposal. The Sarbanes-Oxley Act of 2002, among other things, directed the board to include in the auditing standards that it adopts requirements that each registered public accounting firm provide a concurring or second partner review and approval of each audit report and concurring approval of issuance by a qualified person associated with the public accounting firm. This mandate placed renewed emphasis on the importance to audit quality of an objective second look at the engagement before the firm issues its report. Well-performed engagement quality reviews are an important element in establishing a basis for investor reliance on audits. An engagement quality review conducted contemporaneously with the audit engagement may identify and correct a problem before the engagement is completed. In April 2003, the board adopted, as part of its interim quality control standards, a then-existing requirement for concurring partner reviews that was applicable to members of the SEC practice section of the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants. Currently, the board's interim requirement applies only to registered firms that were members of the SEC practice section. The proposed standard would supersede the board's interim requirement and would be applicable to all public accounting firms registered with the board and for all engagements conducted pursuant to the standards of the PCAOB. In developing this proposal, the staff evaluated the board's interim requirement and the similar requirements of the International Auditing and Assurance Standards Board, the IAASB, of the International Federation of Accountants, and the AICPA Auditing Standards Board. As Greg will discuss, there are many similarities between our proposal and the standards developed by the profession. We also considered the advice of the Board Standing Advisory Group, which considered the subject on two separate occasions. Additionally, the results of our inspections and enforcement activities informed our approach. Our proposal builds on the foundation laid by the Board's interim requirement and the standards developed by the profession. One way in which we did this is by including an explicit focus on identifying and reviewing those areas of the engagement likely to contain higher risks. Greg will elaborate on this feature of the proposal as well. Before I turn the floor over to Greg, I would like to recognize the many people who have made substantial contributions to this project. First, I would like to thank Gary Holstrom, formerly Associate Chief Auditor and Director of Research. Gary started this project while he was a member of our staff, and he gave considerable thought and effort in the development of our approach. Greg Skates adopted this project when Gary retired, and was assisted by Keisha Campbell, Assistant Chief Auditor. I also would like to thank our inspections and enforcement divisions and the Offices of General Counsel and Research Analysis for their insights and assistance. Of course, I also thank the board and its staff for your perspectives on this important project and your support in bringing this proposal before you today. Finally, I thank the staff of the Securities and Exchange Commission who provided timely and helpful assistance and advice. I now turn the floor over to Greg Skates, Deputy Chief Auditor, who will complete our overview of the proposal. Greg?
Thank you, Tom. As Tom mentioned, this proposed standard would require an engagement quality review for all engagements performed in accordance with the standards of the PCAOB. Such engagements include integrated audits of financial statements, audits of financial statements only, and reviews of interim financial information. Due to the benefits we believe are gained from such a review, the proposed standard also would apply to other audit and attestation engagements performed in accordance with the standards of the PCAOB. For example, under the SEC's Regulation AB and related rules, the annual report for a class of asset-backed securities must include a report regarding its assessment of compliance with certain specified servicing criteria and an attestation report by a registered public accounting firm on that assessment. This attestation report is to be prepared in accordance with the standards of the PCAOB. Under the proposed standard, a registered firm would be required to obtain an engagement quality review to issue this attestation report. The proposed standard builds on the interim requirement with respect to the qualifications of an engagement quality reviewer. Under the proposed standard, the engagement quality reviewer may be a partner or another individual in the firm or an individual outside the firm. Under the proposed standard, the reviewer is required to be independent of the client, be competent, perform the assigned procedures with integrity, and maintain objectivity with respect to the engagement and the engagement team. The proposal we are asking the board to consider today requires the reviewer to possess the level of knowledge and competence required to serve as the engagement partner. For example, a person assigned to perform the engagement quality review for an audit of a public company engaged in oil and gas exploration and development should have experience similar to serve as the engagement partner for the audit of a public company in this specialized industry. Similar to the interim requirement, the proposed standard allows the engagement quality reviewer to seek assistance from others to supplement his or her knowledge and understanding of the issues and risks related to the engagement. For example, the engagement quality reviewer might seek assistance from others when reviewing work performed in certain specialized areas or when challenged to complete the work in a timely manner, such as for a large engagement. However, as emphasized in the proposal, the engagement quality reviewer has overall responsibility for this engagement quality review. The engagement quality reviewer also must comply with all applicable independence requirements. Also, to maintain objectivity with respect to the engagement team and all aspects of the engagement, and to perform the review with integrity, the reviewer under this proposal would be prohibited from making decisions on behalf of the engagement team, assuming any responsibilities of the engagement team and supervising the engagement team. However, similar to the interim requirement, the proposed standard would not prohibit the engagement team from consulting with the engagement quality reviewer and recognizes that it is often desirable that consultations take place at the time issues arise rather than at the conclusion of the engagement. In such cases, however, care should be taken not to impair the engagement quality reviewer's objectivity. Finally, with respect to the qualifications, the proposed standard would require the engagement quality reviewer to be an associated person of either the firm issuing the engagement report or another registered public accounting firm. The reviewer could be a partner or employee of the firm issuing the report, an individual associated with another registered firm, or an individual who becomes associated with the firm issuing the report by performing the review. Thus, any qualified person could perform the review regardless of whether that person was previously associated with a registered public accounting firm. Now, turning to the engagement review process itself. Similar to the related standards of the IAASB, or the International Auditing and Insurance Standards Board, under the proposed standard, the engagement quality review process should include an evaluation of the significant judgments made by the engagement team and the conclusions reached informing the overall conclusion on the engagement. To identify and evaluate the significant judgments and conclusions, the engagement quality reviewer should begin the review process with discussions with the engagement partner and, as necessary, with other members of the engagement team. This proposal also specifies certain procedures that should be a part of every review process. Such procedures include, for example, evaluating engagement planning, including the judgments about made about materiality and the identification of significant risk, reading the financial statements, management report on internal control, or other information that is the subject of the particular engagement, and reviewing the engagement completion documents. Some of these procedures are similar to those described in the existing requirement, and they are also similar with, in many respects, to those contained in the IAASB standards. After performing these procedures, and based on other relevant knowledge of the reviewer would be required to assess whether there are areas within the engagement that pose a higher risk that the engagement team failed to obtain sufficient competent evidence or reach an appropriate conclusion. For those areas that pose such risk, the engagement quality reviewer should evaluate whether the engagement team performed procedures that were responsive to the assessed risk, the judgments made by the engagement team were reasonable in the circumstances, and the results of the procedures support the engagement team's conclusion. This risk-based approach reflects the staff's view that the engagement quality review should be a rigorous process in order to identify significant problems in a timely manner for correction. Now, turning to the documentation of the engagement quality review, the board's interim requirement with respect to the engagement documentation of the engagement itself, the board's interim requirement makes reference to certain documentation to be reviewed by the concurring partner. However, the interim requirement does not explicitly direct the reviewer to evaluate whether the engagement documentation complies with audit documentation requirements or supports the conclusions reached by the engagement team. The staff believes that an important aspect of the engagement quality review is for the engagement quality reviewer to evaluate, for those areas reviewed, whether the engagement team's documentation supports the conclusions reached, indicates that the engagement team responded appropriately to the matters that present a significant risk, and that they meet the documentation requirements of auditing standard number 3 on audit documentation. As mandated by the Sarbanes-Oxley Act, this proposed standard requires the engagement quality reviewer to complete his or her review prior to providing concurring approval of issuance. Thus, the proposed standard states the firm must not issue the engagement report or communicate the engagement conclusion to the client before the engagement quality reviewer provides concurring approval. This proposed requirement reflects the staff's view that the engagement quality review should serve as a meaningful opportunity to identify problems and time to correct those problems. This proposal also would establish a new requirement that the engagement quality reviewer must meet in order to provide such a concurring approval of issuance. Under the interim requirement, the concurring partner reviewer is to conclude, based on his or her review, that no matters have come to his or her attention that would cause the reviewer to believe that the audit was not performed in accordance with the standards of the PCAOB, or that the financial statements are not in conformity with generally accepted accounting principles. In contrast, though, this proposed standard provides that the engagement quality reviewer must not provide concurring approval of issuance if, one, the engagement team failed to obtain sufficient competent evidence in accordance with the standards of the PCAOB, two, the engagement team reached an inappropriate overall conclusion on the subject matter of the engagement. Three, the firm's report, if a report is to be issued, is not appropriate in the circumstances. Or four, the firm is not independent of the client. The staff also recognizes that differences of opinion could occur between the engagement team and the engagement quality reviewer during this review process. If those differences have not been resolved to the engagement quality reviewer's satisfaction, the engagement quality reviewer must not provide concurring approval. Now, turning to documentation of the review process, the PCAOB inspection teams have observed apparent deficiencies in the documentation of the concurring partner review, which prevented a determination as to whether the scope of the review was appropriate and also may have contributed to the firm's failure to properly address the concurring partner's findings. Similarly, Academic research also has indicated deficiencies in documentation of the concurring partner review. The board's interim requirement provides that the engagement documentation should contain evidence that the reviewer has complied with the firm's policies in conducting a concurring partner review, including documentation of the reviewer's conclusion. This proposed standard is more specific with regard to documentation of the engagement quality review. Under the proposal, the engagement documentation should indicate who performed the review, the areas of the engagement subject to the review, the procedures performed by the reviewer, when the review procedures were performed, the results of the review procedures, and whether the engagement quality reviewer provided such concurring approval of issuance. Also, the requirements related to retention of and subsequent changes to audit documentation contained in auditing standard number 3 apply with respect to the documentation of the engagement quality review. Finally, the staff has endeavored to draft a standard that would avoid imposing any unnecessary costs. Accordingly, the overall approach of the proposed standard is designed to be efficient. For example, the approach centers the engagement quality reviewer's attention on higher risk areas and utilizes engagement documentation already required by auditing standard number 3 on audit documentation. In addition, the proposed standard is designed to address smaller firm needs. For example, the proposal would allow the engagement quality reviewer to be a qualified individual outside the firm. The staff recommends that the board propose this standard for comment for a period of 75 days. This concludes our comments. Now we'd like to respond to any questions you may have.
Thank you very much, Tom and Greg. First, are there any motions in this matter?
Mr. Chairman, I have a motion.
Mr. Niemeyer.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the board instruct the staff to release the proposed standards on engagement quality review and propose conforming amendment to the board's interim quality control standards as recommended for public comment for a period of 75 days.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Mr. Chairman.
Radisson.
I second the proposal.
Thank you, Charlie and Bill. The question before the board today is whether it should propose a new audit standard on engagement quality review and a conforming amendment to the board's interim quality control standards. Section 103 of the Sarbanes-Oxley Act mandated that the PCAOB adopt a requirement that each registered public accounting firm provide a concurring or second partner review and approval of each audit report and concurring approval in its issuance by a qualified person associated with the public accounting firm, other than the person in charge of the audit, or by an independent reviewer. Understanding the tangible enhancement to audit quality that a well-performed engagement quality review can provide, the PCAOB invested time and resources to examine thoroughly the existing requirements and current practices. To do so, the PCAOB used a number of the tools available to it, including its inspection and enforcement experience and discussions with a standing advisory group. Based on this input, the board concluded that it could further improve the second partner review process. The proposed standard that the professional staff brings to the board today is the result of this careful work. Importantly, due to the global environment in which the PCAOB and the auditors operate, Tom Ray and his team also evaluated the current requirements in IAASB standards, as both Tom and Greg indicated. Many of the provisions within today's proposal align with these proposed IAASB standards. I thank Tom, Greg, and their colleagues in the Office of the Chief Auditor for their hard work on this proposal. I also thank the staff in the Division of Inspections and Registration and the Division of Enforcement, who collaborated with our standards team by providing insights on current practices and shortcomings that could be addressed in a new standard. The PCAOB's standard setting truly benefits from this type of cross-pollination. To encourage improved practices, the PCAOB shares insights and obtains through its inspection program. For example, last October, it included observations related to concurring partner reviews and a report on certain findings from the 2006 inspections of small firms. The report reminded firms that they should ensure that they are allocating appropriate resources to the performance of effective concurring partner reviews and of the need to conduct the review with objectivity, and due care. The PCAOB stressed in the report that firms also need to ensure that they are selecting competent reviewers to perform the concurring partner review, and if necessary, that a firm should consider engaging as the concurring partner an accountant who is not affiliated with the firm if the firm does not have a qualified individual with the appropriate level of expertise and experience to perform an effective review. The observations described in the October report influenced the proposal that the board is considering today. As Tom and Greg have just described, the proposed standard and conforming amendments would take a risk-based approach to the engagement quality review. The proposed standard builds on the strengths of the board's interim requirement and the best practices of the profession. It would provide for a more explicit focus on identifying and reviewing those areas in the engagement likely to contain higher risk. After performing certain specified procedures, the reviewer would be required to assess whether there are areas within the engagement that pose a higher risk and the engagement team, first, failed to obtain sufficient competent evidence, or second, reached an inappropriate conclusion. In these higher risk areas, the engagement quality reviewer would be required to evaluate whether the engagement team responded appropriately to the assessed risk, the judgments made were reasonable, and the results of the procedures performed support the engagement team's overall conclusion. Due to the high value that the PCAOB places on the benefits of the engagement quality review, the proposal expands the current requirement to cover all engagements conducted in accordance with PCAOB standards. I understand that many firms, beyond those that are currently required to do so, have procedures for concurring procedures substantially in place. And for them, as proposed, such firms would likely only need to modify their procedures. Firms that were not members of the SEC practice section and who are not already voluntarily perform a concurring partner review will need to invest resources to build an effective review in accordance with the new standard. The proposal provides flexibility for smaller firms by, among other things, allowing them to work with qualified individuals outside of their own firm to perform the required review. The reviews themselves are envisioned as being risk-based. This reflects the view that it is possible to increase the likelihood of identifying and correcting deficiencies in an audit prior to issuing the audit report in an efficient manner. As with all standard-setting initiatives, proposed standards benefit from public input. I therefore encourage stakeholders to review this proposal and provide their insights on how it could be improved. We will, as always, carefully consider all comments received. We have seen that engagement quality review are an important element in assuring high-quality audits. I support this proposal and encourage comments to contribute to this important standard-setting initiative. Now turn to my fellow board members for any discussion.